You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Lester Graham.
Opportunities.
Part of the community.
The next idea.
A culture for innovation is a culture with a sense of destiny, a sense of that tomorrow's going to be better than today. That's what the word progress means.
Facebook's 32-year-old billionaire founder Mark Zuckerberg has been touring the country. He made stops in Michigan recently. He toured Ford's Rouge plant, even tried his hand at putting on some parts on an F-150 pickup. Turns out, time on the assembly line is kind of hard work. He also privately met with Muslim students at the University of Michigan, Dearborn. The next idea is Jeff DeGraff and Detroit News business columnist Daniel Howes join me. First, I want to ask each of you, Jeff, we'll start with you. What do you think is the reason behind this tour of 30 states?
I think he's trying to get a line of sight on autonomous vehicles. I think what he's trying to figure out is where are the metal benders going?
Well, you don't have to talk to Muslim students at U of M Dearborn or, you know, this Trump voting family in Ohio that was his next stop to find that out.
But you'll learn a lot about what people are thinking and what they're actually going to be using in the future. And it's pretty hard to see that from the West Coast.
Daniel, what do you think of his tour?
Well, I thought it was kind of interesting to read his posts on Facebook after he was here. I mean, he sounded a little wide-eyed, as if he'd kind of, for lack of a better term, was visiting the zoo. He goes into an auto plant and he's just slack-jawed that people actually work hard. I thought he came off as living in a bit of a bubble, and we here in Detroit know a little bit about living in a bubble. We've been accused of it, and rightly so, for many decades.
Yeah, the stop at the Ford Rouge plant is interesting. He also met with Bill Ford. He rode in one of Ford's autonomous vehicles. How much of this is just his curiosity? How much of it is research for future projects?
I think it's probably both. I don't think what I'm saying, what Jeff was saying, are in any way, shape, or form mutually exclusive. You know, one of the things that's happened in the last couple of years, I think, has been, I've been writing about a lot, this battle between Silicon Valley and Detroit, metaphorically Detroit, and it is a battle. There's no question about it. It is a competition. A few years ago, I think Silicon Valley had come to the conclusion that anybody can build a car or a truck or whatever the case may be, and has come to realize that that's not as easy as it looks, and some of these industries do have their own comparative advantage. There's really not a company out there that has got the market cornered on mobility and self-driving cars, and you're starting to see things break down into pockets of expertise or excellence. And when it comes to metal bending, I think Detroit and certainly the foreign manufacturers operating in the United States lead the way in building that stuff. So I think what you're seeing now is people trying to understand where the potential partnerships are, who the threats are, and where the opportunities are. The auto industry wants to get deeper into the business to basically save what it has and also to cut and improve its returns on investment. Tech industry is looking at this as the next new thing, and they're looking for growth, and this is a place to get it.
Yeah, I think the growth thing is the key. Yeah, let's put this in perspective for your listeners. If you took all of the big three and you added their market value, it's about $150 billion collectively. Facebook alone is $450 billion. And what Facebook has been doing in the past 2 or 3 years, they've been buying up every facial recognition company on the planet. They bought Oculus Rift, the big virtual reality company. They've bought, Wit AI, which is one of the big artificial intelligence. So what they're basically doing is making a huge play for the virtual experience, which is way more than social media. It's going to show up in cockpits and autonomous cars and what you do with your refrigerator. And the problem that they've got with that kind of valuation, now think about it for a minute. If you own a car company, you've got all kinds of legacy costs, overhead, labor. You've got all kinds of exposure legally. If you own a digital company, you have none of that, and it's all profitability. They're cash rich. What do you do with a lot of cash to grow a company that's worth way more than it's actually able to generate in revenue? And the answer is you start looking over the fence at companies that bend metal. Now, remember, we had one of these a few years back that didn't work at all. We had Google acquire Motorola. It was a terrible acquisition. They didn't know anything about creating phones. So that becomes the new question that I think Silicon Valley has learned from. What do we need to know that we don't know now about getting into these partnerships?
But, Jeff, are you suggesting that they are looking for a metal bending partner here or an acquisition? Seems to me that one of the things they've also learned is that the valuations of these companies are terrible, and you talked about it just a minute ago. I mean, you have a company like Tesla, which delivered 25,000 vehicles in the first quarter, whose market value exceeds Ford Motor Company's and, depending on the day, exceeds General Motors as well. And that company was losing $13,200 on each vehicle it produced in the first quarter.
I'm not saying they should acquire them. I'm saying they want a line of sight. I want you to think back about 15 years when Amazon lost money for 10 years in a row. It was the same argument people made. There's no retail market here. You're losing money. And Amazon last year constituted 55% of all retail on the web and 50% of all growth. So the problem with growth stocks is they're what's called convex economics, which means they lag way below. They lose money for some period of time. And most of them never make money. This is Daniel's point. Most of them don't. But when they do, and they've been able to create a footprint for, let's say, 10 years like Facebook has, all of a sudden, there's a lot of upside. So I don't think it's that they want to bend metal. I think what he's trying to learn is what he doesn't know now about the people who bend metal so that when they make those partnerships, they're more informed. At least that's my take on it.
And for that, I would give the guy a lot of credit. And secondarily, as I said in the column I wrote on this and also the commentary I did over the weekend, I give him credit for coming out here and doing this kind of stuff and trying to understand. Covering this industry in a lot of stress over the last decade, one of the things that has both impressed me and infuriated me has been a lot of people, and I'm generalizing here, on the coast who kind of look down on what they do here and really don't understand how this industry has transformed itself, both by its own initiative and also because it was forced to, particularly in 2008 and 2009.
Couldn't agree more. Cars, I think, are way more sophisticated. And we shouldn't even call them cars. It's the transportation industry now. I think there's another game here, though, that people are overlooking. And the game is they're really not playing for cars or they're not playing for this experience. They're playing for data. And the issue is we're now in an economy where we can actually begin to predict what are called heuristics, what people are thinking, what they're likely to buy. And those things become invaluable. Now, there are moral questions around that. There's a lot of moral questions. You can lead into redlining and all kinds of stuff. And there are cases around the world where that's happened, of course. But you just have to understand what the vector of a company that's really outgrown the sector that it's in, it really needs to find something else to eat in order to continue to grow.
All right. We've got time enough for one more question, and I want to get this one in. What do you think he's really going to accomplish by this tour? I mean, is it going to be life-changing for him, or would he be better off hiring the right consultants?
I think it's going to make him smarter, and I think that's the whole point. The Toyota Motor Corporation has got a phrase called go and see, and it's been part of the way they've managed the company for decades. And basically what it meant is executives need to go to countries and they need to see how things operate and how other competitors operate. And I think that's what he's doing here. And I give him credit, but I also think we'll find out what he uses with that information.
Yeah, I think there's something similar. I mean, when I meet people around the world and I say, well, I'm from an area near Detroit, you know, they usually grimace. And I'll say, get on a plane and go. It's very different than what you think it is. And I think that's what he did. He got on a plane and went because Detroit is happening. And he went and said, oh, my gosh, there's a lot of things happening here. And remember, when it comes to power generation, which other than data and other than healthcare is the next huge area, that is something that Detroit is uniquely capable at. And somebody who's looking to grow a business, I think if they're looking for what the next big growth opportunity, which is, according to most industry reports, north of $10 trillion, I think it's power generation. I think he'd be a fool not to come and look at it.
Well, I appreciate talking to both of you guys. It's the easiest interview I've ever done because all I had to do is kickstart it, and you guys took off. Next time we have beer when we do it, okay?
Thanks.
That's Jeff DeGraff. He is a clinical professor of business administration at the Ross School of Business and University of Michigan. Daniel Howes is business columnist for the Detroit News and a contributor to Michigan Radio. Thanks, both of you.
Thank you, Lester.
Thank you.
Support for the next idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.